Thanks Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Hello, Faster My, good afternoon. 5 o'clock on Friday the 31st of October. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, is the government doing enough to promote equality and inclusivity? A blind resident says more needs to be done. Meanwhile, new technology at Nobles is helping medics communicate with patients no matter what language they speak. And with it being 31st of October, that means it's Hop Tune. As always, drop me a message if you want to say hello. You can text WhatsApp to 166 177 or email to studio@manxradio.com. But first, let's get the latest news headlines read by Darren Timpson.
Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper has ruled out making another attempt to remove the Bishop of Soda and Man's vote if the Legislative Council rejects his current bill. He says the matter has now been fully explored through the Select Committee's report, and it'll be for the members to decide whether the island keeps or reforms the centuries-old tradition.
It does open up some interesting questions, I suppose, in terms of whether or not by putting this bill forward, we are actually in some way securing that membership for the foreseeable future, because we then have to go and change the law again to remove the bishop entirely from Tynwald Court. And I don't think there's much appetite for that.
A blind resident has written to the Chief Minister raising concerns of the island's approach to equality and diversity. Duane Gregor is questioning why no equality champion has been appointed under the current administration. And the sun has just set, which means the trick-or-treaters will be knocking on doors soon. Police are urging parents to keep an eye out on their children's whereabouts and to ensure they're not engaging in antisocial behaviour. In international news, the family of Virginia Giuffre, who accused the former Prince Andrew of sexual assault, has praised the King Charles for stripping Andrew of his titles. But women's rights campaigner Charlotte Proudman thinks it doesn't go far enough.
He hasn't actually faced any criminal investigation. Certainly more needs to be done than just simply moving him from one palace to another. To the average person, they seem to think, I suspect, that this man is above the law.
The Army's vowed lasting and effective change after a former sergeant major was jailed for sexually assaulting a teenage soldier. Jaisley Beck took her own life 5 months after the attack by Michael Webber. And in sports, cricket's 100 competition is significantly increasing salaries to attract the best players in the world. It includes a doubling of the wage pot for women's teams. Those are the update headlines, next at 6.
Gurumai, thank you very much for that. Darren, let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Dry with clear intervals and fresh to strong southerly winds this evening. Then overnight, showery outbreaks of rain will develop, turning heavy at times as the wind reaches gale force in some places. Minimum temperature of 9 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
At Zed's Bedding, we know spills, pets and kids can be tough on mattresses. Our waterproof or quilted protectors shield against everyday mess while adding comfort. Simple, effective mattress protection. Clean, fresh and longer lasting. At Zed's Bedding, Ramsey.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Dillshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view dillshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
Visit Ramsey Art Gallery for a fabulous range of top brand watches and stunning gold and silver jewellery, gifts for all occasions, and of course our gallery of prints and original artworks. Find all this and more at Ramsey Art Gallery Jewellers and Engravers, opposite the RNLI shop.
Cork Hill Storage, Cork Hill Storage. Call Cork Hill Removals and Storage today. We'll store your goods day after day. Safe and secure around the clock. When it comes to storage, we do the lots. Click CorkHillRemovals.com.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
4 minutes past five on Manx Radio's Update. Welcome to the programme. Now, a blind resident has written to the Chief Minister saying the government isn't doing enough to promote equality and accessibility. Duane Gregor says there's been no equality champion since this administration took office and believes that's left a gap in representation. When I spoke to him, he questioned why the island doesn't have an access to work scheme like the one in the UK.
Why in this current administration the role of equality champion has not been filled? The response that I had back from the Chief Minister surprised me, because I had always assumed that a champion's role was a voluntary position. So I thought that people stepped into the children's champion and the equality champion role. But what I understood from the Chief Minister's email was that it's an appointed role by him. So currently in this administration, the equality champion has not been appointed by him.
And did he give a reason as to why he didn't want to appoint an equality champion?
The reason he gave in the email was that within the government plan, they have a commitment to fostering inclusivity. And that was kind of, he believes that that is everybody's job within the government to make sure that inclusivity is within all of the policies and procedures. My feeling, however, is that without a dedicated individual like an equality champion to spearhead change, then there isn't any proactive change to the legislation. It might be considered in how to prevent discrimination, but there won't be a dedicated individual to review the legislation and compare it to other jurisdictions and kind of see if we can be doing anything different. There's a concept in economics called the purple pound, and that is the money that disabled people pay in society and use in the economy. And that can be for things like people who need to get a pedicure because they can't cut their own toenails, or the support workers and the care workers who are in kind of care agencies and things like that. The purple pound is the amount of money that a disabled person might spend on a taxi getting from place to place because they can't drive or they find it difficult to walk. So an access to work scheme would support those people to generate that income and really would actually overall benefit the economy of the Isle of Man as well.
June Gregor speaking there. Well, we have approached the government for a comment. We haven't had a direct response from the Chief Minister, but we have seen emails in which he says inclusivity is already built into the Ireland plan, but does admit more can be done. Now, Legislative Council member Dawn Kinnish has told Manx Radio the issue still needs attention. She says there is an existing support scheme called the Employed Persons Disability Scheme, but it dates back to 1999 and actually isn't fit for purpose.
I'm not certain that we've lost something. I think when we think about the role of Equality Champion, there were specific terms of reference as to what that role was about. I do accept that there is continued work and awareness raising that needs to be undertaken. So when I was elected in March 2023, one of the early things I did was to see the Chief Minister and ask about an Equality Champion political role, but that was not something that was considered necessary at this time. But what I would say is, whilst there is no dedicated political champion for that role at this moment, is that there are many members of TIMOD who will advocate and push for strategy and hold departments to account.
Do you think the island should look to establish its own equivalent of an access to work scheme? That sort of system has been running in the UK for about 30 years.
So we do have a scheme. I think it's called the Employed Persons Disability Scheme. It's from memory, it's a 1999 scheme. It does need revisiting. I certainly did challenge a refresh of it when I was the Equality Advisor in 2018 to 2020. It's not in any parity with the Access to Work scheme. And I think for that reason, we do need to revisit that particular statutory scheme to make it fit for purpose.
And that's something that an equality champion could be tasked with doing?
Well, an equality champion could, a disability champion, but equally, we as members of TIMOD, we can apply pressure for change. So, if an individual was to come to me and say, look, this isn't meeting my needs, then we can challenge that.
So if there was a political champion instated to look at things like disability, equality, inclusivity, accessibility, what would they be actually doing in their day-to-day role?
So I would expect the terms of reference to cover things such as awareness raising, improving outcomes, pushing for policy change, legislative change, and holding departments to account.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, you may remember yesterday the Legislative Council released a report setting out possible consequences of removing the bishop's voting power in Tynwald. Today we headed to Peel Cathedral, where a revamp of the congregational area now sees names of bishops on the tiles down through the centre, dating all the way back to the year 447, a monumental amount of history, more than 1,600 years. When I got there, I had a catch-up with MLC Paul Crane, the chair of the committee that was tasked with bringing the report forward.
I don't think that's been recognised enough. There are, as I understand it, again, humble Methodist here, there are 42 dioceses in the Church of England. 40 of those are in England. One is a European diocese, which spans 22 countries, and the other is the diocese here. And this diocese is one quarter the size of the next smallest. So we stand out on a limb, sort of exposed, really. In the Catholic Church in the Isle of Man, it's been good to see. They got the co-cathedral here 2 years ago, was it? But they still come under the Bishop of Liverpool. You know, there's been no bishop created here. We have a bishop. We've had the bishop for 1,600 years. That could come to an end. You know, we've had correspondence from the Archbishop of York, and he's not able to say for certain because it would have to go in front of panels and committees and so on, but he's saying it would be at risk, you know, and that there would be a chance that we'd lose this.
At that point, what happens to all of this? Is there a red line? What happens here?
I'm sure some Tynwald colleagues would say, well, that's not our concern, you know, but actually, if we've preempted this, if by removing the vote we've lost the bishop, you know, what is the effect of that? I would say these bishops, many of them, have made a really good contribution to the Isle of Man. They're part of our history. They're part of our past. They're actually of growing importance, the number of people coming on pilgrimages to the Isle of Man, wanting to see the keels, see the crosses, walk where these people walk. That's a growing area of tourism within the island. The Triskelion Way has been opened up as a route to recognise that. But the most important message today is simply that we are risking the end of 1,600 years of extraordinary people, extraordinary history, and people who've had a role in the Isle of Man, who've taken on an oath that I know in Patricia Hillis's case, how she's taken on an oath to speak for people who have no other voice and think within this community. She's got certain commitments here that are the broader elements of faith and so on. You don't know what you've got till it's gone, as the old song said. And there's a lot of truth in that. And that's where we're at.
Member of the Legislative Council, Paul Crane, speaking there. And if you want to see the full video, it's available via our YouTube channel or a more bite-sized version over on our Facebook page. 13 minutes past five, the Information Commissioner has ruled that the Department of Education, Sport and Culture mishandled a Freedom of Information request about lecturer contracts at University College Isle of Man. Lewis Foster has been looking at the decision. Lewis, hi, Fastamai. What was this request about?
Fastamai, Christian. Well, it centred on how the university's lecturer contracts are monitored, including questions about conflicts of interest and the annual documents that track compliance with those contracts. The person who made the request wanted copies of those records covering three academic years.
And what did the department do in response?
So DESC did answer some parts, but wouldn't confirm whether a conflicts of interest register even exists, saying that to do so would reveal personal information. It also said it didn't hold the monitoring documents the applicant asked for.
Right, OK. So it was escalated to the Information Commissioner. What did the IC find?
Yeah, so the Commissioner said the department was wrong to use that neither confirm nor deny approach, because simply acknowledging whether a register exists doesn't in itself reveal personal data. The ruling also says DESC couldn't show it had carried out proper searches for the information and that it failed to give the requester clear advice or assistance.
OK, looking ahead, what happens now then?
So DESC has been ordered to reprocess the request within 30 days, either release what's been asked for or issue a new refusal notice that properly explains its reasoning. If it doesn't comply, the case could be referred to the High Court, and there's also a right of appeal to the court within 28 days.
Lewis, thank you.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, let's take a look on the roads to begin with. In Onchan, temporary lights on Whitebridge Road at the junction with Windermere Drive, 24 hours a day for gas service installation work. Meanwhile, in Braddon, temporary lights on Braddon Road, that's just up from Braddon Bridge, for work on the entrance to a new residential development. And in Santon, the Mount Murray Back Road is closed for the building of a concrete underpass for the Comus Hotel and Golf Club. Everything looking good at the steam packet. Everything's back to normal after that little stint of disruption we had over the past couple of days from the weather, so that's all good. Over at the airport, though, we'll look on the arrivals board first. The 4:50 Aer Lingus from Dublin, that's delayed until 5:50. The 6:05 Loganair from Manchester, that's got a 30-minute delay. And the 8:30 Loganair from Liverpool, that's going to be coming in at 9:05. On the departures board, the 4:50 Loganair to London City, that's delayed till 5:30. The 5:20 Aer Lingus to Dublin is not going to be getting away until 6:15. And the 6:40 Loganair to Liverpool won't be on the runway until 7 o'clock.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Keyside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, new technology at Nobles Hospital is helping medics communicate with patients from anywhere in the world, no matter what language they speak. Manx Care has partnered with Language Line Solutions to provide translation services across the organisation, including the introduction of interpreters on wheels. John Moss went along to Nobles to see how the devices are being used.
It has access to 240 languages 24/7.
So what do? You feed in their language and it comes back with the appropriate?
Absolutely. So if you are able to understand or ascertain the country that the person's from, you can actually just search the language. But if somebody doesn't speak English, but maybe you know that they're from China, you can type in China, and what it will do is bring up all the languages spoken in China, and what it has here is all the scripts. So if somebody cannot speak or even read English, they see their language come up in their own script, and then they can point. And then all we do is press the button, and it connects us to a live human on the other end of the line. It's not AI, it's not anything other than a human being on the other end of the line somewhere in the world that will be translating for us.
So this can be moved anywhere around the hospital?
Absolutely. We have four of these in the hospital at the minute. One in the maternity ward, one in ED, one in our AMU, our ward one, our medical ward, and one in our orthopaedic ward 11. But we also have the ability to access this system via laptops and desktops for those people that are running clinics within the hospital or even outside the hospital, and also on mobile devices as well. So the ambulance crew, the Isle of Man Ambulance Service, have this service on their Apple pads that they carry on their in their ambulances, and our contracted services and our community services have access to it via laptops or mobile devices as well.
John Moss there speaking to Manx Care's Andy Reid. Well, the four interpreter devices are now in use across Nobles Hospital, including the acute medical unit, the emergency department and the maternity ward. 5:18. Now, it's the 31st of October, which of course means it's Hoptunay on the Isle of Man. And this evening, children will undoubtedly be knocking on doors, singing Ginny the Witch, and hopefully walking away with some sweets. I actually never went to trick-or-treating as a child. But it's not just the little ones having fun, as homeowners have been getting creative ahead of the annual tradition. You may have already spotted some houses with flying witches and skeletons, while others have spooky sounds and even a life-size Mike Myers. While Chanel Suku has visited Robert Feeney's home on Hillside Avenue in Douglas.
It's a bit scary, isn't it? Well, you've got Mike Myers at the door, you've got the nuns at the front, and the two zombies, and the witch. I've got a chair there for myself. So, yeah, it's good fun for kids, for my lad and that, and his mates. They come round, they're dressing up, so it's good fun.
I'm assuming you do this every year then?
Yeah, I do. I've done it a few years now, as he's grown up. But this is a bit different this year. It's more zombie sort of thing. So, I do Christmas as well. You know, we'll probably get about, last year we got 150 kids. Don't know how many we'll get this year because of the weather, but hopefully we'll get a few.
How long does this take you to set up?
It's took me about 3 weeks to do this. So I have to do bit by bit, but it takes a day to take down.
So later today, will you be sitting on this blood-stained bench with these axes and knives?
I will, yeah. Terrifier. That's what I'm dressing up as. It was Freddy Krueger last year, but I was sat by the gate. But that's a photo booth, what I've made this year, so people can have the photos. But Michael Myers scares everyone.
Oh, I was too afraid to even ring the doorbell because Mike Myers was here. I thought he was going to start making some sounds.
Well, that was an outfit what I wore a couple of years back. And I dressed up as the witch about 2 years back.
So these are all recycled. And where do you get your inspiration from? Do you have an idea of what you want to do?
I watch horror films. I just watch the horror films, and I watched all the Walking Dead series. That's where I got the zombies from.
So do you have any messages for any kids that will be coming to your door later?
I'll leave that. They don't know I'll be sat there, so...
Robert Feary speaking to Chanel Suku. Now, if you've never visited the Manx Aviation and Military Museum, tomorrow might be the perfect time. The volunteer-run museum is celebrating its 25th anniversary with a special open day, and visitors can see never-before-displayed artefacts, step inside the preserved Manx Airlines ATP aircraft, and enjoy a special Spitfire-themed feature. Chanel Suku has been speaking to Museum Chair Norman McGregor Edwards and Director Ivan Ramsden.
Very often we get people coming in saying, do you know something about... It's surprising how often the family have got some information, we've got some information, put the two together, we get more of a story, complete story, and they do. Before last Christmas, I had somebody rang me up and said, can we come and have a look at a site of a crash? And we organised a visit, took them up there and so on. And it turned out they had originally thought that this crash and this chap was killed on the Isle of Wight. It's just really great to be able to help people that way.
And Ivor, you know, how important is it, you know, to have all of this, have it preserved and, you know, have that history, keep that history alive for generations to come.
We hope that people will go around this museum and learn and realise what a stupid thing war is. You know, people call us a war museum, and I get rather indignant about that because we're a people museum. The common factor, largely, is people in war, whether they wanted to be there or not. And I just hope that people will get the message that, you know, it's, this idea isn't very good. It's part of human nature, unfortunately.
What's the oldest artefact you think you have here?
We've got a musket from the Lily, which ran aground on Kitterland in 1852. That was found in a field a mile away from the ship when it exploded, and it was found at Craigneish. Kept in the same family until very recently when it was handed over to us. An amazing thing.
23 minutes past five, the Isle of Man Freemasons will lay a wreath this weekend ahead of Remembrance Day. Last week, over 250 riders of the Widow's Sons Masonic Bikers Association from around the UK and the island carried wreaths to the National Memoriam Arboretum in Staffordshire. A service will be held at the site tomorrow. Isle of Man Freemasons Communications Officer Tim Earle spoke to Darren Timpson.
When they saw this enormous, pictures of this enormous cavalcade and knowing that one of our members was in it with our wreath was a moment of great pride for them.
How many Widow's Sons are on the Isle of Man?
To be a member of the Widow's Sons, you have to be a Freemason, but you also have to drive a motorcycle of over 500cc. They have their own leather cuts that they put the usual bikers' badges on.
And was there any Freemasons that took part in the war that you'll be, I suppose, remembering this weekend?
Huge numbers took part in both world wars and every war that has taken place since. There were good numbers from all the Crown dependencies and in fact overseas territories as well. People that have been to Great Queen Street in London will have seen the Masonic headquarters, and it's an extraordinary building because it is itself a memorial to those that died in the First World War. At the end of the First World War, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people were demobbed. They wanted that camaraderie, and huge numbers of lodges were set up by these retired servicemen. And a lot of those lodges gave money towards the building of that stunning building in Great Queen Street, which is our headquarters. It's not only our headquarters, but it is a memorial to all the Masons, and in fact all the soldiers, all the servicemen that died in the First World War.
Right, let's turn our attention to sport now, and we can say Fastamai to Rob Pritchard.
Fastamai, first off, Corinthians will be able to maintain their status as the only unbeaten Canada Life Men's Premier League side as the latest round of Isle of Man football fixtures approach this weekend. The top flight leaders are yet to taste defeat and face the prospect of welcoming last season's Railway Cup and FA Cup winners Ayr United as part of another busy schedule on Saturday. In Ardern and Drogheda Limited Division 2, both of the current top two sides, Castletown and Colby, are without matches this weekend, potentially allowing one or more sides to close the gap on the current promotion favourites. You can view the full schedule of this weekend's Isle of Man football fixtures at manxradio.com. In rugby, just the one fixture will take place this weekend on Ireland, with a spot in the Cheshire Bowl final up for grabs. One of the semi-finals of the competition will see Ramsey hosting Southern Nomads at Morag Park at 2:15pm on Saturday. The winner will face either tournament favourites New Brighton or Hoylake in the final later in the campaign. Elsewhere, one of the Alabama's martial arts competitors has claimed two gold medals in European competition. Hayley Curtis of Summit Grappling Academy secured both absolute and division top spots at this year's IBJJF European Nogi Championships in Rome, Italy, which are taking place throughout this week. Both successes came in the Masters 3 divisions, with Curtis taking top spots in the Purple Belt Feather Class, up firstly with a win over Vanessa Petterfields, before a victory in the Purple Belt Open Class against reigning Abu Dhabi Jiu-Jitsu Pro Champion and 2025 IBJJF European lightweight champion Hend Retzk. Summit Grappling Academy says Curtis becomes the first person from the Isle of Man to achieve two gold medals at the championships, adding the achievements come after a year of injuries and adversity. And finally in hockey, a Southern derby in the mixed Premier League will be among the headline ties across the mixed divisions this weekend. Second place Castletown Celts face newly promoted Castletown Southerners, who are still searching for their first win of the season. Full details of this weekend's Isle of Man hockey ties are available on our website.
Rob, have you ever done martial arts before?
I haven't, no. Actually.
No, that surprises
been
me.
Intrigued, but
I thought you would be more of like a kickboxer.
No. Again, nothing I've explored at this point.
Okay, maybe one day. Well, that's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Darren Timpson. Up next, Rob is back with you for Friday Sports. Michelle Kane sitting in for Chris Kinley with Greatest Hits from 6:30. Howard Kane will be with you from 9 o'clock with Sweet and Swing, then Rian Evans with After Hours, taking you through it till tomorrow. Hope you have a good hop tunay. Don't do anything I wouldn't. Beth is back with you from Monday. So until next time, take care. Bye-bye for now.